Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, stand to your feet and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. We're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 together. And I want to talk to you about seasons come and seasons go. You know, in our life, we all face seasons and they differ from one to the next. And it's important that as the children of God, we understand that God is a God who ordained seasons. He ordained times. And He will lead you into one season, but He will also lead you out of that season and into another season. And we can't get caught trying to stay in one season because we like it, or trying to get out of a season too soon simply because we don't like it. We have to trust that He's God. He ordained the times and the seasons, and He knows when we need to be somewhere, where we need to be, and it's our job to simply trust Him and allow Him to be God in our life. Yesterday, we were watching football. And my son Boaz, who's 5, he loves football as much as anyone I've ever met in my entire life. And I really don't know where he got that. It must have been from his mom. I don't know. But he said, I wish football season was all the time. And I said, well, buddy, that's what makes football season so special. That's what makes it so exciting, is that when it ends in February, when the Super Bowl is over, there's no football until the end of August the next year. And that brings anticipation and excitement that we're ready because we haven't gotten to watch football. We've had to endure, you know, other sports. You know, basketball. I'd rather watch paint dry than watch basketball, especially women's basketball. No offense to the women, but basketball is bad enough as it is. Or soccer. I can't stand to watch soccer. No offense if you love soccer. Listen, opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got them. Most of them stink. So I understand you may think my opinions regarding sports stink, but that's okay. But the thing that makes football season or baseball season, which baseball season is so long, that's why I think so many people can't stand it. But anyways, seasons is they start and they end. Some people live for hunting season, right? Some people live for harvest time. Some people, they're just so excited because it means that it's a new season and there's something that you have not gotten to experience, you now get to experience. We're stepping into the Christmas season and I'm so excited about it. For some of y'all, Christmas started as soon as 4th of July ended. You guys are like, bring out the holly, right? But I'm a traditionalist and I think that Christmas is reserved for after Thanksgiving. If you want to put your tree up in October, I don't care. It's just mine's not going up until the day after Thanksgiving. But anyway, the thing that makes it so special is it's a season. And God operates in seasons and in parameters of time that He has ordained. And so we're going to talk about that today. Hopefully that gave you enough time to find Ecclesiastes. The reason I talk so long is some of those books can be hard to find in the Old Testament, right? And so I was trying to just give you ample time. In Ecclesiastes 3, scholars conclude Solomon wrote this book of the Bible, and they will most likely say that he wrote it near the end of his life. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, you know this. In fact, the birds wrote a song about this, and we're going to say this today. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant, and there's also a time to pluck up what has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and there's also a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. I want to read verse 1 again. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Let's pray. Father, we look to you today, and I ask that as we look to your word, that you would give us, that we would be like the sons of Issachar, that we would know the times, that we would know what to do. And I know there's a time when you said it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but I know that we need to trust you and to understand that in every season, you're God, you're faithful, you have a plan, and there is a purpose for every time under heaven. And so we trust you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated today. So as I said earlier, my title for this morning is Seasons Come and Seasons Go. You're going to walk into times of joy and excitement. You're going to walk out of joy and excitement and into a season where you endure pain and suffering and hardship. And sometimes we wonder, what did I do to deserve this season? What did I do to make this happen? And the reality is, sometimes you didn't do anything wrong. You're just in a new season. You're just in a new time that God has for you. And there's something that you could not learn in the last season that he wants you to learn right now. And so in order for you to learn it, he had to bring you into a new season. He had to bring you into a new time. He had to let you know there's a new purpose that I have for your life, because we're not here just to live and exist and then die. We're here because God wants to take us from glory to glory, from grace to grace, and from strength to strength. And the way that he does it is by helping us and allowing us to walk through seasons. So God ordained seasons. He instructed time. And in our text, it said to everything there is a season. That means that no matter where you are in your life, God has a season for where you are. There's no wasted time. There's no space where it's just like, what, do whatever you want to do. Figure it out. I don't really have a plan. I'm not really sure what's going on. In everything, there is a purpose under heaven. That means there's purpose in pain that you endure. There's purpose in triumphs that you get to experience. No matter where you are in your life, maybe you just got married. Maybe you just lost someone. Maybe you just had a baby. Maybe you just experienced heartache and you know, on your job. But whatever you are, wherever you are, God has a purpose and he has a season and something that he wants you to learn and to grow in the midst of that season. I want you to understand this today. God has a reason for every season. Every time that you step from one season to another one, in fact, just look at it naturally. There's a reason for spring. There's a reason for summer. There's a reason for fall, and there's a reason for winter. You may have a favorite season. You may like summer better than spring. You may like spring better than fall. You may like winter better. But you have to understand that all four seasons are important because they have a purpose and they have a reason. And it's the same way in your life. God has a reason for why he ushered you into a new season. In fact, the book of Daniel, the second chapter in the 21st verse says this, and he, speaking of God, changes the times and the seasons. We don't get to decide when our season's over. We don't get to choose, I don't like this season anymore. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to endure pain. I am going to, it says, he changes the times. He changes the seasons. He removes kings. He raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So it's God that changes and ordains the times and the seasons. We don't get to pick. We don't get to choose. And I look at people in the Bible and I think about someone like Job. Job was a righteous man in the eyes of God. And the devil went to God and he said, he was just there. And it was actually God that said to Job, to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? Have you noticed how righteous this guy is? And the devil said, yeah, but the problem is you've got a hedge of protection around him. God said, if you would let me, you know, mess his life up, he'd curse you. And God said, you can do anything but touch his body. And you know the story. His camels were dead. His children were dead. His sheep were taken. Everything that he had was taken from him. But the Bible says that Job fell on the ground and he worshiped. He said that he knew that his Redeemer was true, that he was faithful. He worshiped God. Even in the season where he had everything that he could ever need, even in the season when all that was taken away, Job never cursed God. He worshiped before the Lord. And then at the end, it was restored twofold. He had double what he had in the beginning. Why? Because sometimes God will take you through seasons that you don't understand, that you don't want to walk through, that you don't, there's no way that if you were given the pen to write the script of your life, you would put this in the play. But God says, I need them to go through this because there's something I have for them on the other side of it. And we have to trust his seasons. I think about David. David went through seasons. He was alone with the sheep. When his brothers were being paraded through to be chosen as the next king of Israel, he wasn't even on the mind of his father Jesse. And then he gets brought in, he gets anointed, and he's anointed to be king, but he's still a shepherd. And then he has to take and deliver food to his brothers on the battlefield fighting for King Saul. And he shows up and he has to fight a giant, but he's still not king yet. And then he becomes the minstrel for Saul, gets spears thrown at him, has to run for his life, lives in caves, is surrounded by worthless people, and he had to be thinking the whole time, I thought I was anointed. Where's my season? Where's my time? What's going on? But in due time, when God was ready, and when it worked in his perfect timing, David became the king of Judah, and then he became the king of Israel, and he ruled and he reigned, and he became one of the greatest kings that there ever has been in all the earth. And from him, through his lineage, came Jesus Christ. But he had to live in seasons. And sometimes we read the Bible, and because it happened in two verses, do you realize there can be years between verses in the Bible? And we read one thing, and then we read the next thing. In fact, you read Daniel chapter 9, and then you go read Daniel chapter 10. Between Daniel 9 and 10, over 40 years happened. But we can read that span of scripture in about 4 minutes. And so to us, it doesn't compute because we don't understand that sometimes seasons take a really long time. Because God is working something in us. He's working things out of us because he has a plan that is perfect for our life. I think about Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. He had dreams. He was going to be, you know, his parents were going to bow down to him. His brothers were going to bow down to him. And then he gets betrayed. He gets thrown in a pit. He gets sold into slavery. He's in Potiphar's house. He gets wrongfully accused. He goes to prison. And then he ends up in the palace before the king. And he becomes the second most powerful man in all the world. But in every single season, you have to believe he's faithful. I might be in a pit right now, but God's still faithful. I might be, you know, feel like I'm in slavery to this job. Why will God not let me leave this job? I don't like this job anymore. I don't want to work here anymore. I don't want to clock in tomorrow. But why is God not letting me go there? And we don't understand that it's because in the perfect time, he will get us exactly where we need to be. But it's not always what we want. Sometimes it's the very thing that we don't want that God is using to get us to what we need. And so we have to trust seasons. I think about Moses. Moses grew up away from his family, not in his parents' home, in a pagan civilization with a stepdad that is Pharaoh. And then he chooses, I'm going to go reunite myself to the Hebrews. But the Bible says they didn't understand. He supposed, you can go read this in the book of Acts, he thought that they would understand he was the deliverer, but they didn't understand it. And so he sees sees someone being taken advantage of, and he kills the Egyptian. He ends up having to run and flee for his life, and he lives 40 years on the backside of a desert. That is a season of time that we don't think about, but Moses had to go through because it was not yet the promised time fulfilled that God had prophesied to Abraham of when God would deliver his people. And so Moses is stuck in a season. And then the burning bush happens and God says, he reveals himself as I am. And he tells Moses, I've heard the cry of my firstborn. Go and deliver them out of Egypt. You would think that Moses would be able to walk right up in there and say, hey, it's time. God says it's time to go. But no, there was another season he had to walk through there, where he had to endure and battle with the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. And so you see these people's lives, there were seasons. I also think, there was just, Jesus had seasons. He had 30 years on the earth where he did not perform any miracles. He didn't preach any sermons. He didn't see blind eyes open. He didn't see lame people walking. He didn't cast out demons. 30 years, he was just living like a person. That's a season. But no matter where you are, God has a reason for your season. And this is what I've come to learn. Just like you can't change your season, you don't get to label your season and decide, I'm in, and Christians are so bad about this. They love to declare, this is my season of prosperity. This is my season of blessing. This is my season of health. This is my season of wealth. This is my season of glory. This is my season of breakthrough. This is my season of favor. And if God told you that's your season, then you go right on and you declare it and you stand on it in faith. But you don't get to decide this is what season I'm walking in. Because the Bible doesn't say that you and I get to call those things that are not as though they are. You know what it does say? God calls those things that are not as though they are. He knows all things. He created the time. He created the season. Why don't you let him be God? And you'll get so much more out of the season that you're in. Yeah, you might suffer for a while, but the glory that shall be revealed in you will not even be comparable to the suffering that you are currently facing, Paul wrote to us in the book of Romans. And so we have to trust he's God. Who did Daniel say changes the times and the seasons? God. We don't get to label it. We don't get to decide. Your results will be a lot better if you'll just let him be in charge. Let him be in control. You may have some weeping. There may be some pruning. There may be some things that you lose. You might lose people. You might lose relationships. You might lose, you know, things that you own, that you have. But I'll tell you this, if you will allow him to work what he wants to work out of you, in you, and through you, you'll be ready when the time comes. And you'll step into the season that he has for you. And it may be good and then bad. But that's why we say life is full of ebbs and flows, hills and valleys, because the seasons and the times, they change. His goal is simply this, to keep you fruitful in every season. That's what he wants. God wants you to be happy, yes. I know that because it's in his word. Blessed is the man who walks this way. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. All the Beatitudes, that word blessed means happy. Yes, God wants you to be happy. But do you know what he wants more than anything? Fruitfulness. Because he said, if you're not fruitful, you really can't have any part in me. And so he wants to keep you fruitful. And that's why we have seasons, even in the natural. Because if it was a certain climate here all the time, certain things would not grow. That we need to eat. They need times. They need season. There needs to be seasons of rest. There needs to be seasons of growth. There needs to be seasons of pruning. And so God allows us to go through seasons because he wants us to remain fruitful. You may be in a pruning season. Guess what? The reward for bearing fruit is getting pruned. Because he says, those of you who bear fruit, I will prune. Why? So that you can bear more fruit. Because that's my plan and that's my purpose for your life. Like we talked about last week, trust him. Trust him. You may not like the pruning. You may not like the season that you're living in, but if you'll trust him, he's faithful. He's a good gardener. He knows exactly what you need of. And we often mislabel our seasons instead of asking God, what if we just got real with God and we're like, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? What is it that I'm missing? Because I have blind spots, but I know that you see everything. So what do you want me to learn in this season? What am I lacking? What are you trying to add to my life? What is it that I don't have that I need that you are wanting to give to me? Because I know you're a father that gives good gifts. So what is it that I'm missing? So what if we just asked him that? Because your life is not your own. My life is not my own. We've been bought with a price of the precious and incorruptible blood of Jesus. And so therefore we should glorify God with our bodies. But the problem, and I've said this multiple times, but I feel the Spirit impressed it on my heart to say it again. The problem with the church is we want him to be God of America, but we don't want him to be God of our own heart. I mean, the reason we want him to be God of America is we want a moral America. We want a safe America. We want a prosperous America. We want a healthy America. But if you want that, the only way to get there is actually by us submitting and saying, you're God of me. You can tell me to do whatever it is that you want me to do. I will live my, if you are leading me into a season of being in the wilderness, I'll go into a season of being in the wilderness. If you're leading me into a season of pruning, if you're leading me into a season of blessing. And sometimes it's not just the bad seasons that we don't want to go in. Some people don't want to go into the good seasons. You don't believe me? Think about Gideon. God was calling Gideon to be the deliverer, and Gideon was like, whoa, 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 not me. I'm the smallest of the smallest. I'm a half tribe. I'm the weakest clan, and I'm the smallest one in my clan. I'm the runt of the runt. I don't think you're looking for me. And God said, oh, no, mighty man of valor, you're exactly who I'm looking for. So often we try to excuse ourselves from our calling, not just to the bad things. You know why? Because inside of each and every one of us, we want to be in control. You would say, why would you not want to be used by God because we want to be used how and when we want to be used. But in reality, we're just called to be a tool in the hand of the Lord. When James wrote an epistle, he wrote James, the bondservant. You know what a bondservant is? It's a slave with no wages. And James was the brother of Jesus Christ, but he did not identify himself like I would choose to identify myself if I happened to be Jesus' brother. I would write and say, Spencer, the brother of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, writes this epistle to those that have been scattered and dispersed abroad. But James says, I'm a bondservant of Christ. He may be my earthly brother, but he is my Savior. And so I am his bondservant. Because whatever he wants, that's what I'm going to do. And we have to trust him. He knows what we need in every single season. He wants to bless you. He wants to make your life better. But it can't just go exactly how you want it to go, because if it does, then he's not God. We have to trust him. So what I want to do today is I want to give you three things that every single one of us should be doing in every single season. The season may change, but our posture and our thought process should be the same in every single season. And I want to give you three things. So if you're a note taker, take notes. If you're not a note taker, take notes. Number one, listening. In every season, we should be listening. There should never be a moment in our life when we get to the point where his voice is not the priority in our life. But we're listening more to, you know, the news, or we're listening more to a friend, or we're listening more to even a pastor or a preacher. His voice is so important. Why? Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, which immediately excludes anyone that does not know the voice of the shepherd. We have to listen to him in every single season. God gave you one mouth and two ears. Why? Because he wants you to listen twice as much as you talk. And sometimes we don't hear what he's saying because we won't stop talking. We won't listen. You can't listen and talk at the same time. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and you can't do what we say? You can't get a word in edgewise? Why do we say that? I don't understand that phrase, edgewise. Someone educate me later on that. Not right now, please. I can see someone. They say edgewise because, no, like, now's not the time. But you can't even get a word in because they won't stop talking. But how do you think that God feels sometimes when we come into our prayer time and we talk 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 and we don't listen? In fact, when Jesus led the disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And I think that we need to be doing as much watching as we are praying. We need to listen. We need to listen for his voice. You know why? Because in every single season, your ear needs to be tuned to the voice of your shepherd, because it may be grazing time. It may be shearing time. He may be leading you into or beside still waters. He may be leading you through the valley of the shadow of death. But you know what? You don't have to fear. Why? Because you know his voice. And you know he will lead you through it, not just into it. And so as we follow him and we know his voice, we have to listen no matter what season you're in. And sometimes when it gets really hard, it's easy to listen. But when it gets really good, we find ourselves not as dependent on him, and we don't listen as much as we did when it was difficult, because now we don't see the need to listen like we did when things were hard. But in every single season, we need to be listening. Sometimes we just get so busy in life that we fail to slow down and just listen. You know, sometimes he will speak to you like he spoke to Elijah when he was in the cleft of the rock with a still and a small voice. You know, if someone speaks to you in a still, small voice, if you're not listening, you won't hear them. Over the chaos of life, over the busyness of this and that, it's imperative that as his children, that as sheep of his pasture, no matter if you are a plumber or you are work at a bank or you're a mechanic or you are a school teacher, whatever you do, you listen to God, because you need to hear his voice as much as I do. So often we think the pastor needs to hear from God. Absolutely. You know why? Because I'm a child of God, because I'm a member of the body of Christ. And you need to stop and you need to listen to God every single day. God, what are you saying? What are you doing? Where are you leading me? Because if not, you'll miss your season. And when you miss what God is doing in the season, you'll find yourself frustrated. You'll find yourself being mad at God. You'll find yourself giving into temptation, overcome, overwhelmed, and unsure of what to do. And it all could be resolved if you'd listen. What are you doing? Because he'll reveal it to you. He's not up there keeping secrets. He's up there wanting to answer you, wanting to talk to you, but we've got to listen. Everything isn't a billboard and flashing lights with God. Sometimes it's just a still small unction within your spirit to know where you need to go and what you need to do. But when you don't listen, you can't understand. And when you don't understand, you don't retain information. And when you don't retain information, you must return. What does that mean? That means how much would our life change if we started listening at the beginning? How many parents are in here? You ever told your children, go do this, and they come back? Or maybe it's like, you know, go get your socks on. And they come back with no socks on. And you're like, why don't you have socks on? They're like, I didn't know I was supposed to get socks. And it's like, you know, like, anybody home up there? Like, I just told you, go get socks. I don't know where socks are. They're in the same place you got them from last time, right? Like, but if they would have listened, they could have understood. But when you don't listen and you don't understand, you have to return, right? And sometimes we get stuck in a cycle of season because we're not listening. And God's saying, I told you what to do, but you haven't done that yet. And so often we seek a new word from God, or we seek God, you know, lead me into a new season. Give me a new word. And he's like, I already gave you an instruction. You haven't obeyed that one yet. So if you are struggling and you feel stuck in a season, here's what you need to do. Go and get alone with God and ask him to remind you, what was the last thing you told me to do that I have not done yet? Now, if you've been obedient, you just wait until he speaks again. But if you haven't been obedient yet, you need to go and you need to find, hopefully you wrote it down. Hopefully you have it recorded somewhere. Maybe somebody spoke a prophetic word over your life. Maybe God revealed it to you in scripture or in prayer, and you know he impressed it upon your heart to do something. If you have not done that yet, don't seek a new word. Don't seek a new season, because he's still true to his word. God doesn't change his mind just because we change ours, right? Sometimes we expect God to just catch up with our life. Like, well, I did this, so now you are obligated to be good. No, he's obligated to be good as long as you are obedient to what he has called you to do. And so when we're disobedient to the word, it's like Jonah. God didn't change his mind because Jonah went to Tarshish. Well, I guess, Jonah, since you decided to go there, change of plans, right? You're gonna go there. No, the mission remained the same. Go to Nineveh and preach. Even when Jonah went the opposite way. So find out, what was the last thing God spoke to me? And I need to listen to that, and I need to hearken to it, and I need to give myself to it. So no matter what season you're in, always be listening. Because you never know when he'll speak. And when he speaks, be obedient. So we need to be listening. The second thing we need to be doing in every season is learning. If God allows a season to come in your life, remember what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a purpose for every time under heaven. That means in every season, no matter how good or how bad, there's a lesson God wants you to learn. You look at those people we talked about, whether it was Job, David, Moses, Jesus, they all had something that God wanted them to learn. You may say, Jesus, yeah, Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Even your suffering can produce lessons in life. And so we have to be willing to learn. He doesn't waste anything. God is efficient and God is prepared. I remember I heard a gentleman speak years ago, and he said this, and it stuck out to me so great in my life because I realized the error in my own manner of doing things. He said this, seasons are for learning, not for skipping. My children, when they watch something, if they don't like a scene, they'll skip it. And I won't let them skip it. You may say, what a mean dad. No, I want them to learn that just because you don't like something in life, it doesn't mean you can skip it. Because we've programmed people. We've programmed ourselves through technology. I don't like that. I'll just skip it. I'll just skip it. And then when it comes to life, every time something that we don't like happens, we just want to skip it. We just want it to be over. And we don't realize that there's a purpose for every time under heaven. I'm not saying that you have to be happy about suffering, but you can be grateful in the midst of suffering. I'm not saying you be thankful for the problem, but you can be thankful despite the problem. And so we can't just skip seasons. Remember, Jesus, 30 years. How many times do you think between 12 years old, the last record we have of Jesus, until he's 30 and he's revealed, how many times do you think that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered? Maybe because he wanted to reveal himself out of his love, out of his compassion. But God said, it's not time yet, son. It's not time yet. Be patient. You're still learning. You can't skip ahead. In fact, even when Jesus' first miracle was, which is in John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana, when they try to get, his mother comes to him, he says, it's not my time yet. And she says to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do. And God revealed him in that time. But he had lived years and years of just learning obedience through the things that he suffered. And so we can't skip seasons. We have to learn in the midst of each season. Because you know why you can't skip seasons? Because life is not something that you DVR'd on your TV. Or a YouTube video that someone posted on the internet that you can just skip through and get through to the parts that you want. Life is lived every single day in real time. And so you can't skip it. Because if you skip it, you won't learn it. Just like if you skipped class, you're not going to learn what's taught in class that day. Every day is a class that we're taking from God that we allow him to teach us in. Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our helper. He will instruct us and guide us through life. I bet David would have loved to have been to skip being hunted like a dog. I bet if he would have been able to, he would have loved to say, I don't want to endure this pain or this suffering anymore. I want to be the king. I've already been anointed to be king. Because David was a man just like you and I are human beings. But if he had been able to skip the season, he would have missed some very valuable lessons that I'm sure helped him become the righteous king that he was. I bet the three Hebrew boys that were in Babylon would have loved to have skipped having stand before King Nebuchadnezzar and tell him, we're not going to. You know, we look at that story and we are so proud of people that make a stand. And we want to be those types of people. But think about the fact that they were human just like you and me. And they had to be scared to death when he said, we're going to heat it 7 times hotter. Did they stand in faith? Absolutely. But even in the midst of faith, you can still be human and have a sense of trepidation inside of you. I'm sure they would have loved to have said, can we just skip this? Can we just go to the next part? But there's something that God, if they would have skipped it, they wouldn't have seen Jesus Christ show up, the fourth man in the middle of the fire that we sang about today. So no matter if you're having the greatest season of your life or the worst season of your life, know this, there's something God wants you to learn. And when you don't learn it, you have to retake it. When you don't learn what God has for you in that season, you have to return and you have to try to learn it all over again. And because he's gracious and he's compassionate, what you don't learn in one season, you relearn in the next. Or you just stay in that season until you learn it. You wonder, why did the people of Israel go around in the wilderness for 40 years? Because they didn't learn their lesson. And God, because he's gracious, he kept letting them go around until they finally learned it. And they finally got to go in to all the people that had resisted God because they hadn't learned their lesson, had died off, and a new generation could go into the promised land. So we have got to learn. So ask God, what do you want me to learn in this season? And the third and the final thing we're going to talk about. So number one, listening. Number two, learning. The reason listening is one and learning is two is it takes listening to learn. And then the third one is leaning. In every single season, you should be leaning. Leaning into God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. The only way that you're going to make it through any season is to lean into him. Lean into him and let him be your strength. Let him be your source. Allow him to help you in the areas that you need help. He's not waiting to see how strong you are. You know what he is waiting on? He's going to see if you'll accept the strength that he wants to give you. Sometimes we think that we need to prove ourselves to God, and God's like, I just want you to lean into me. Remember what Jesus said? If you're weary and heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. The Spirit, the Bible says in the book of Romans, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so in every season, we have to lean into him. There's never a moment where we can rely on our own strength. We have to know the only strength that I have is strength that comes by him. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. I love the old song that says this. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness and what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. The second verse says, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. You ever wondered where they get that? The everlasting arms. Where'd that line come from? It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 27 through 29. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Then Israel, which anytime you read Israel in the Old Testament, it's now us because we've been grafted into the people of Israel. So his people, we shall dwell in safety. The fountain of Jacob alone in a land of grain and new wine. His heaven shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? The shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down in their high places. So seasons come and go, but you know what won't change? The everlasting arms of the Father. Those everlasting arms that he promised to his people in Deuteronomy are still promised to you and me today. But you know what we have to do? Lean. You know what leaning requires? Trusting. I would not lean on this pulpit because I don't trust it to hold me. Because I know that if I lean all my weight on this pulpit, I will go with it into the floor. So I don't lean on it. But you know what I would lean on? This stool. Because I trust that it will hold me up. And so when you lean on God, what you're doing is you're saying, I trust you. I trust that you will support me. You ever looked at something and thought, I ain't getting on that. Right? I'm not climbing that ladder. I'm not walking across that bridge. I'm not doing that. Know that he is the everlasting arms. And I want to end with this. 2 Timothy 4:2. Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So you know what your job is? In every season, be ready. You should be ready. That word, or the phrase in season, is one word in the Greek, and it means conveniently. The phrase out of season is one word, and it means untimely. So here's what Paul says to him. Be ready in convenient times. Be ready in untimely times. Whether it seems like a good moment or a bad moment, your job in every single season is be ready. How are you ready? We already answered that. Listen, learn, and lean. If you'll listen to him, you'll be ready. If you'll learn the lesson, you'll be ready. If you'll lean into him, you'll be ready because you know that you're with him and he's with you. And so let's be people that are ready. So what you need to do is ask yourself this. What am I listening to or who am I listening to? Who or what am I learning from? And who or what am I leaning on? Because that will determine if you're ready or not. Because you may say, well, I am listening. Okay, what are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Because if it's not him, it's not what you need in this season. What are you learning from? Who are you learning from? What are you learning about? And where are you leaning? Where is your support? Where is your trust? Because if all those three answers are not him, then you're not going to make it through this season the way that he wants you to make it through this season. So the way that you're going to make it is by leaning into him, learning from him, and listening to him. Stand to your feet with me today. Father, I ask that you would help us today to be prepared, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. God, you change the times and you change the seasons. You give wisdom to the wise and you give understanding to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us as we listen to you, as we learn from you, and as we lean into you to be prepared in season and out of season. That we would always be ready, as Peter told us, to be ready to give an answer concerning the hope that lies within us. And God, I pray that as we lean on you and trust in you, that you would help us to make it through this season. Lord, I pray for those that are in seasons of suffering right now, seasons of heartache. God, may they not throw in the towel. May they not give up and quit, but I pray that today that you would strengthen by your righteous right hand. I pray that this would be a reminder to know God is faithful, He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that's at work in us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen the weak. I pray that you would help us to remain humble and dependent upon you in every season, no matter where we are, what we're facing, that we would listen, that we would learn, and that we would lean upon you, God, because you are faithful. And so help us to trust you no matter the season, no matter what we're facing. You're God, we're not. And help us to learn what we need to learn so that we can be effective in leading other people to you. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? And then we're going to pray over Annette today, but you will be released. But I'd like, Dave, if you and Annette would come up here after, speak this blessing. And anyone that needs healing in your body, we'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace, smile all over you, and may you trust the God who knows what season you're in, what he has for you, what he wants you to learn, what he wants to get in you and out of you, and may you walk in his perfect timing every moment of every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. We love you guys. Have an awesome week.